very, very special guest edition here by Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Rabbi Leibowitz is the rabbi of the Beis Knesset Rosh Woodmere, head of Smicha at Reitz. Before we begin, if you look at Rabbi Leibowitz before a Daf Yomi Shir now, the Daf, well, not Daf, the Shir is sponsored by Isaac and Susan Rabinowitz in memory of Isaac's father, Meir Nissan ben Chaim Noach HaKohen, Emmanuel Rabinowitz, Alei HaShalom, Yaffa Gluck in memory of her brother, Tzvi Ben Ben Zion, Alei HaShalom, Stephen and Rochelle Savitt in memory of Rochelle's father, Moshe Chaim Alevi, Sharon, Shrein, Stephen, get help me out here. Unmute yourself.
Prime,
okay, good one.
Prime.
Did I say that earlier? Nice one. Well, Neshama Shadav and Aliyah. Mortimer Chrein, Alei HaShalom, David Schneier in memory of his aunt, Rella Bas Aaron, Rella Schneier, Alei HaShalom, and Alice Scheinwald in memory of her mother, Vega Bas Shmuel Faye, Simon, Alei HaShalom. Thank you all so much for the sponsorships. Again, today's speaker is Rabbi Aryeh Leibowitz. Everyone knows him from the Daf Yomi, the Temen Halachas, from the Rabbi's Desk, whatever you know him from. It's a huge honor and a privilege. You know, I obviously quote him a tremendous amount. Actually, when I first started in Forest Hills, I was quoting Rabbi Leibowitz so much, so a few people came over to me since we're in Forest Hills, you know, Chavetz Chaim area. People said, I didn't know you were so close to the Rabbenach. It's unbelievable, amazing. Quoting Rabbi Leibowitz all the time. Like, oh, well, actually, I'm quoting my Rabbi Leibowitz. So now people know my Rabbi Leibowitz all very too well, and it's a tremendous honor. Thank you so much for taking out the time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Rabbi Schreier. It's so wonderful to be here, and welcome. It's great, I guess, to be here in Forest Hills, great to see so many members of the Forest Hills community, as well as members of the Schreier and Savitsky families. Wonderful to learn Torah together with you. Rabbi Schreier, I probably should have asked this earlier offline, but how long is the shir?
Anywhere between 40 and really, you can go all night, whatever you want to do.
Okay, that is not true, but I will. When you said 40, I guess that's the number. Okay, we'll work with that. Okay, sounds great. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I wanted I didn't know that this was a Parsha slot. Rabbi Schreier just mentioned beyond the Parsha or behind the Parsha. I didn't catch the words exactly, but it's good because I wanted to talk a little bit about the Parsha. So I got to unmute myself. Okay, but am I still muted? Am I good now?
You're good.
Okay. So I did want to talk a little bit about the Parsha, and I think an important message that emerges from the Parsha. You know, there's a startling medrash that relates to Yaakov Avinu's attitude toward the many hardships that he faced. It happens to be it's a medrash that Mori Verabi Rav Schechter quoted this past Friday in his Parsha Shir. He quoted a different segment of the medrash. I'll mention both parts, but the medrash starts off, the medrash tells us, Vayomer Yisrael, Lama Hari Osem Li. Yaakov really laments his bad luck. Why are things so terrible for me? Me olam lo amar Yaakov Avinu, says the Medrash, me olam lo amar Yaakov Avinu davar shel batala elakan. In the entirety of his life, it sounds like, me olam, the entirety of his life, Yaakov Avinu never said a wasteful comment. There was never anything he said that was nonsense except for this one place. What did he say already? He said, I'm having a bad day. What did he say that was nonsense? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Osek Lahamlich B'no B'Mitzrayim, V'hu Amar, Lama Harei Osem Li? Hashem says, I'm busy trying to establish his son as the king over Egypt, as the most powerful man on earth. And he's asking, oh, why are things so terrible for me? This isn't what I wanted. My life isn't going well. Does he realize just how great his life is going? That his children are not only going to be the future of the entire Jewish people, but that his son is right now being established as the most powerful man in the world? And all he could think is, Lama Hari Osem Li? And that, the Medrash says, is the one and only time in his life where Yaakov said a davar shel batala. He said something that was nonsense. The Medrash also tells us that at the end of last week's parasha, Yaakov also had this kind of attitude that he started looking around at things and saying that things are terrible. The Medrash says when they asked, can we bring Binyamin back to Mitzrayim so that we can secure more food? What does Yaakov say? Yosef einenu. Yosef is already gone. V'Shimon einenu. And Shimon is gone because Shimon had been taken, had been kept by Yosef in Mitzrayim. Ve'es Binyamin tikhu alai. Now you want to take Binyamin as well? Says the Medrash of Shachter quoted, Yosef einenu. He was saying, Yosef is already gone. Yosef was not already gone. Yosef was becoming king over Mitzrayim. Yosef was keeping the entire world alive. Yosef was not gone. Shimon ain't enemy. He says, Shimon is gone. Shimon was having a party. Shimon was having a great time. As soon as the brothers left, Shimon was let out of jail, and Shimon was having this the time of his life. Yosef was taking care of Shimon. And this Binyamin Tikholai, well, whatever happened to Binyamin? Nothing. Nothing terrible happened to Binyamin at all. And Rav Shachter was trying to tell us that the point of this medrash is that sometimes people lament how terrible things are, and they don't realize that that our view is somewhat narrow, and that when we think life is so terrible, very often there are a lot of good things that are happening that we just don't see. That a person should have a positive view on life. A person should always look at things in a positive light and should not only focus on the negative, and certainly should not focus on what he thinks to be negative or what he or she anticipates will be negative. And what does the Medrash refer to such an attitude as? A davar shel batala. Nonsense. It's nonsense to worry about that which didn't happen or that which you don't know for sure has happened. Yaakov questioned why God did evil to him, and he did not appreciate that at that very moment that he was questioning that, Hashem was working behind the scenes to make everything work out. The Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Yud Tes tells us, Tanu de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, im ra'isa Talmud Chacham sha'avar avera b'layla, if you ever see a Talmud Chacham that violates an avera at night, al tahare rachrav b'yom. By the next day, don't think of him as someone who had violated an avera. Why? Shema asa tshuva. Because by the next day, you can already suspect that perhaps he had done tshuva. If he did an aver the night before, but you know this person to be a Talmud Chacham, by the next day, he may have already done tshuva. And you know what the Gemara's question on that is? My question would have been, well, that's a very positive outlook on life to assume that people might have done tshuva. No, the Gemara's question is, Shema Salkataitach? Maybe? Maybe he did tshuva? Not maybe. Of course he did tshuva. Says Gemara, you're right. Elevadai asa tshuva. You're right, for sure, for sure. If you see a Talmud Chacham doing avera at night, then for sure, by the next time you see him, the next day, he for sure did tshuva. Rav Shachter used to tell us that this is the joke they make about this Gemara is that if you see a Talmud Chacham that does an avera b'layla, by the next day, asa tshuva. He already wrote a tshuva explaining why his avera is really a mitzvah, that he already has rationalized it to the point where he can write a whole essay explaining why his avera is okay. But that's not the simple pshat of the Gemara. The simple pshat in the Gemara is that a person engaged in repentance, that he really genuinely did tshuva. So if the Medrash tells us, let's just putting two and two together over here, that Yaakov spoke a davar shel batala, that he spoke nonsense, that he was questioning God in a time where God was only doing kindness with him, and the Gemara tells us that whenever a tzaddik or a Talmud Chacham makes a mistake, we can assume that tshuva was coming very shortly thereafter. It's vadai that tshuva came shortly thereafter. Where did Yaakov do tshuva for this? Where do we find that Yaakov finally did tshuva for the misguided comment at some point before he left this world, before he died? Where and when did he do tshuva? That is question number one. Question number two. David HaMelech compares Hashem to a shepherd. It's probably one of the most often recited chapters in Tehillim, Mizmor leDavid, Hashem roi lo echsar, often recited at funerals, but it's recited in a number of contexts. Mizmor leDavid, Hashem roi lo echsar, for the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. Yet, the Medrash comments that it seems like a real chutzpah to make that comparison. Because God is a shepherd, you know, if you were to think of people who get respect, people who are in a profession that others respect, that others honor, that others think, you know, does a Jewish mother brag to her friends that her son is a shepherd? I actually have a cousin who's a shepherd in Israel. He's no longer a shepherd, actually. Now he owns a Chumas Eliyahu, but he used to be a shepherd. He was actually featured in a magazine when they needed a picture of someone who looked like a settler, with the long robes and the stick in his hand. He looks like Moshe Rabbeinu. So in some magazine where they featured like Jewish settlers in the West Bank or something, they had my cousin. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's my cousin. Like, I couldn't believe it. My first cousin. So, but most of the time, we don't think of a shepherd as like this very honorable profession. We'd say a CEO. God is like a CEO of the world. You know, some people like to refer to their morning tefillos when they daven is the morning meeting with the CEO. You know, you're meeting, because that's a nice way to refer to God. I'm meeting every morning with the CEO, but you're referring to your morning meeting, you're referring to a meeting with God as a meeting with the shepherd, you're referring to Hashem as a shepherd, the Medrash comments, Ein lecha umnus bezuya yoser mishal roa. There is no lower profession than a shepherd. Shekel Yomov, who halich b'makalo b'tarmilo, that his whole life he's just walking around with his walking stick trying to keep the animals in order. V'David karala karosh baruch hu roa. And David refers to Hashem as a shepherd. Why would David do that? Why refer to Hashem as a shepherd? And the Medrash continues. Amar David tells you why. Mizikeinim esbonan. He says in general, when we're not sure how to do things, when we're not sure about decisions to make in life, or how to speak, or how to behave, we always look toward the Zakenim. We look toward our elders to be able to figure it out. We are a people of tradition. We are a people of Mesorah. We always look. I was talking to a Talmud recently who had asked me why I spoke in a particular platform. It was not this platform, it was some other platform. He said, you know, why did you do that? Why would you associate with that particular platform? I said, I saw Rav Schechter's name was on there, so I did it also. If it was good enough for Rav Schechter, it was good enough for me. So he told me afterwards that he was stunned by that answer. He thought that I would be more thought out than that, that I would have an explanation of like, you know, I understand. Mizakenim esponon. That's the way we operate. We look at the Zakenim, we look at those who come before us, we look at the leaders of our people, and that's where we learn from. So David says, you know why I call God a shepherd? Mizakenim esponon. Yaakov kara osaroa. No less an authority than Yaakov Avinu. Refer to Hashem as a shepherd. Shneamar. Ha'elokim haroe osi. God is my shepherd, Yaakov said. God has shepherded me throughout my life. So Afani Korea Sarah, Shnemar Hashem Rowi Loachsar. So David Melch says, I'm allowed to call him a shepherd too. Truth is, doesn't really answer the question though. Meaning the Medrash was bothered. How could you refer to God as a shepherd? A shepherd is an umnus bezuya. It is a degrading kind of profession. How can you refer to God as someone who has this degrading kind of profession? And the answer is, oh, it wasn't me, it was him. It wasn't me, it was Yaakov. Okay, so that doesn't answer the question. That shifts the question. So now our question is no longer on David. Thank you very much, David. You are dismissed. Now our question is on Yaakov. Yaakov, how can you refer to Hashem as a shepherd? If being a shepherd is really a degrading profession, how can anybody great refer to Hashem as a shepherd? And that is question number two. Why is it that God, of all professions, that God is referred to as a shepherd? Again, I would think a CEO would be a much more apt description. A king is the most common, but something that's more honorable than a shepherd. And third and final question. If you actually look at the text of Mizmar LeDavid Hashem Ro'i, of that kapitel of Tehillim, of that chapter of Tehillim, for the Lord is my shepherd, we find a very strange line in the text. Shiftecha u'mish'antecha hema yenachamuni. Both a shevet and a mish'enes are a nechama to me, are a comfort to me. What is the difference between a shevet and a mish'enes? They both mean sticks, but they're different kinds of sticks. A shevet is a rod with which you strike somebody, that if somebody were to attack somebody else, they would use a shevet. A mish'enes is a walking stick. It's that which you lean on to support you if you're having trouble supporting your own weight. That's a mish'enes. A mish'enes is a cane. Shivtecha u'mish'antecha hema yinachamuni. Now, I would understand that mish'antecha, if I'm having trouble standing on my own, and Hashem gives me a cane and he says, here, this will help you out, that's a great comfort to me. That's yinachamuni. But why in the world is shiftecha yinachamuni? Why is it that the shevet means when God punishes me, when I'm struck by the rod, that's yinachamuni? Why would that be yinachamuni? And that is question number three. So to review, three basic questions. Question number one, why? At what point did Yaakov do tshuva for the aveira, or the dover shel batala, the nonsense that he spoke, that Hashem is doing evil to him, that Hashem is causing evil to befall him? Question number two, why is God a shepherd? Of all professions, why such a lowly profession? And question number three, how can we refer to the great gift of not only the mish'enes, but the shevet? The shevet does not seem to be, or shavet, does not seem to be a great gift at all. It seems to be something that's quite punishing. The great Mashkiach in Beis Medrash Gavoa in Lakewood, Rav Matzisyo Salomon, answers all of these questions by prefacing with Rav Chaim Volozhiner's explanation of this Mizmor of Tehillim, of Mizmor Chaf Gimel. He says, you know, the entire Mizmor is really about our dependence on God, and more specifically, our utter lack of knowledge about what is truly best for us. We yield to his wisdom in determining what's best for us at any given time, and that's what this chapter is really all about. The best way to illustrate that aspect of the relationship is through a shepherd-sheep relationship. The shepherd has a much better idea about what's good for the sheep, what's beneficial for the sheep, than the sheep himself has. The sheep only knows what his urges are. He does not know what will be of long-term benefit to him. Sometimes a sheep likes to wander in one direction or another, but the shepherd won't allow it to roam, because the shepherd knows that the sheep will most easily find fertile ground to graze in its current location. The sheep doesn't understand, why am I being stifled? Why am I being punished? Why can't I roam? Why can't I go? But in reality, the shepherd is saving the sheep's life. And that's exactly what the Mizmor says. Bina'os desha yarbitzeni. God keeps me back. He's yarbitzeni. He's holding me back. Bina'os desha. In a place where there's fertile ground to graze. Because I think that the grass is greener somewhere else. But Hashem is yarbitzeni. He's stifling me. He's holding me in one place. But he's doing it because he realizes this is na'os desha. This is a nice place to graze. Sometimes you have the opposite. A sheep prefers to be lazy and stay where it is. The weather is warm. The sheep's not interested in walking. He'd rather just sit down, you know, throw a tantrum like a little child and say, I'm staying here. I'm not going anywhere. But the shepherd knows that precisely because the weather is warm, the sheep needs to get to water. He can't stay where he is. He's going to dehydrate. He needs to get to water as soon as possible. So again, the sheep has no idea what's good for it. He just wants to stay. He just wants to relax. But the shepherd forces the sheep to a place where it can rest by the water. Al mei menuchos yinahaleni. On the mei menuchos yinahaleni. You have led me even when I didn't want to be led. I would have rather been left alone. I didn't want to be led, and you led me to the mei menuchos. You led me to these waters. It's a remarkable thing about the sheep-shepherd relationship is that the sheep has no idea. The shepherd has a much greater perspective. You know, Rav Moshe Weinberger Shlita loves to tell the story. I assume it's an apocryphal story, but he loves to tell the story of the poetry reading contest in 19th century England, where a man chooses as his poetry to read, he reads Psalm 23. He decides to read Mizmor L'David Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. And when he's done reading, he reads so eloquently, so beautifully. He has such a knack for language, and he reads it with such... With such class and grace that when he finishes his reading, the young man finishes his reading, everyone cheers wildly, a standing ovation. He read it perfectly, the right nuance, the right tone, the right inflection. And then suddenly, at this poetry reading, there's an alter yid sitting in the back who speaks up and he asks if he could enter the competition as well. And, you know, the British are ever polite, so they accommodate the elderly gentleman. Okay, sure, old man, you can read as well. And he chooses that same passage. Hashem roi lo echsar. And he reads it like a yid reads Tehillim. He reads it like a person. You know, I'm reminded when Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, passed away. I remember in the hesped that one of his daughters gave for him. She said, and this was stunning to me, because I knew Rav Aaron a little bit, and I certainly have family members who are very, very close. My uncle is Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's closest friend, was Rav Aaron's closest friend on earth, I believe. My uncle Julius Berman, and so I you know, for 20 years I've been hearing stories, more, however long I'm married, for don't tell my wife, I remember, 1998, 22 years I've been hearing stories about Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. And I had never heard this before. His daughter said that Abba lo amar tehillim, my father didn't just say tehillim, hu za'ak v'tza'ak tehillim. When he would say tehillim, he was screaming, he was crying, he was connecting. And it was deep, it was emotional. The way a Jew reads tehillim, when a Jew is talking to Hashem. So this alter yid gets up and he reads tehillim. And after he's finished, there's not a dry eye in the house. There's no standing ovation. People are just weeping. They're just crying. And the young man who read the Tehillim, that same chapter before him, turns to the Alter Yid and he says, I don't understand. We both read it in different ways. I read it so beautifully and everyone cheered. And you read it and everybody cried. Well, how did you tap into that emotion? That even though I read it perfectly, I didn't tap into that in the depth of people's hearts. How did you do it? And the Yid responds that the difference between me and you is that I know the shepherd. I have a relationship with the shepherd. You were reading a story about a shepherd. I was talking about my shepherd. You see this chapter of Tehillim through the eyes of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, you'll never see it the same way again. Binos deshe yar bitzeni. Have we ever thought about what that means? That we'd rather be free to roam and to go. And Hashem says, no, it's safer for you in here. You need to stay put for now. And there are times where we'd rather stay put, we'd rather not go anywhere. And al mei menuchos in aleni, Hashem says, no, you need to go now. It's time to go to the mei menuchos. And sometimes hindsight is very beneficial in appreciating God's wisdom in directing us in life. We don't understand why things happen when they do, when they're happening. But very often, 10, 20, 30 years later, we come to a greater appreciation of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made things work out in a certain way. We understand that our unanswered prayers were our best prayers. You know, Rav Shachter told us on many occasions that Rav Soloveitchik very much wanted, after Dr. Revel passed away, Rav Soloveitchik very much wanted to be named the next president of Yeshiva University. He wanted to be, instead of Dr. Belkin, he wanted to become the president of Yeshiva University. It was my brother actually told me a maisa that Rav Nata Greenblatt told him that they asked Rabbi Schreier mentioned Rav Henoch before, Rav Henoch's father, Rav David Leibovitz, that they asked Rav David Leibovitz when they were deciding on who they should have as the next president of Yeshiva University. They said, you know, Dr. Belkin, Rabbi Soloveitchik, you know, they're both Talmidei Chachamim. And Rav David Leibovitz said, Dr. Belkin is a Gevaldika Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Soloveitchik is a different Bria. It's not that he's a bigger Talmud Chacham. He's just in an entirely different category. Rabbi Soloveitchik was, and only he wanted to become the president of Yeshiva University. And later in life, after teaching generations of students who went on to lead most of American Jewry and much of Israeli Jewry, Rabbi Soloveitchik said, can you imagine if those prayers were answered? Can you imagine if I would have been named president of Yeshiva University, what I would have been busy with? Great things, for sure, and everyone would have said how wonderful a job he did, I'm sure. But he would not have had nearly the impact that he had as the great Rosh HaYeshiva that he was for all of those years. Sometimes the things we hope for, the things we wish for, are really the worst things for us. Rav Shachter told us that Rav Asher Weiss, the great Gaon, Rav Asher Weiss, from Eretz Yisrael, who is world famous and connects to Jews from all over the world and from all different segments of society. I remember the first time Rav Asher Weiss came to America. I was an assistant rabbi in Shaarei Tefillah, and I had never heard of Rav Asher Weiss before. No one had heard of Rav Asher Weiss before. He had first started coming to America. Maybe it wasn't his very first trip, but it was one of his first trips. And he was going to speak in Shaarei Tefillah in Lawrence, where I was the assistant rabbi, and the rabbi wasn't there, so they told me, you got to introduce this fellow who's speaking. I said, okay, what do you know about him? They said, oh, he's very nice. He's a Talmud Chacham, and he's Hasidish, but he speaks to modern Orthodox people also. He speaks to people from all segments of society. So that is all I knew about him. So I got up and I introduced him. I said, here is Rabbi reading Asher Weiss. He is a Hasidish Jew, but he speaks to modern Orthodox people too. And then Rav Asher Weiss got up, and he gave a sheer, like, I my jaw dropped to the floor, and I thought, how do people not know about this person? This is unbelievable. What happened? Where was he hiding for decades? He was a Rebbe in the Kleisenberger Yeshiva. His Rebbe was the Kleisenberger Rebbe, and his brother married a daughter of the Kleisenberger Rebbe. And for years, he was teaching, and he was writing Svarim. He was writing Minchas Asher, the Minchas Ashers on Shas, that are beautiful Svarim. I have them right behind me, actually, on the bottom shelf. He was writing Minchas Ashers, and you know who was reading them? Nobody. Nobody was reading them. No one ever heard of him. And then there was some falling out. Not going to get into the details. Rav Shaftei got into some detail in his shiur, but there was some falling out, and essentially he had to leave the Kleisenberger Yeshiva, and he thought his life was over. Where am I going to go now? This is the only place I ever knew to teach Torah. What's going to be next? And what came next was that he started saying shiurim everywhere, and he became world famous. And he's been leading Klal Yisrael, so many segments of Klal Yisrael, so many people turn to him as the only address to be able to deal with the most sensitive questions of the time. And all that happened, Rav Shechter told us, because something went really wrong in his life, something terrible, something that he thought would be the end of him. So very often hindsight is helpful. But there are other times where even with hindsight, we don't understand why God did what he did. A person can live a long, long life and still not understand why as a child they had to suffer what they suffered. Why as a young adult they had to go through the yisurin, the suffering that they went through. And in times like those, we need to take comfort in the fact that yisurin, that suffering, is a kapara. It ultimately brings us closer to God and ultimately earns us a higher place in Olam Haba. And that's what we write, that's what we say in that same chapter. Gam ki eilech begeitz al maves. Even when I am in the valley of darkness, lo irara, I will not fear evil. Ki ata imadi. Because Hashem, you're with me. At least I know the shepherd. We always have that comfort, that we have a relationship with the shepherd. And with that attitude, that Hashem does things for our own benefit, whether or not we understand them, we can explain the next line. Shiftecha u'mish'antecha, heima yinachamuni. Of course the mish'enes is a nechama. Of course the cane that supports us, that gives us, that allows us to support our weight, that allows us to be mobile, that allows us to go from one place to another. Of course that's a nechama. But you know what else is a nechama? Shiftecha. Even when it feels like a shevet, when it feels like a rod with which we're being lashed, that is also a nechama. So back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov found out that Yosef is still alive. Yosef instructs the brothers to tell Yaakov, Ko Amar Bincha Yosef, here's what you need to tell our father. Ko Amar Bincha Yosef, so said your son Yosef, Samani Elokim La'adon L'chol Mitzrayim, Hashem made me a master over all Mitzrayim. After all these years, Yaakov's primary interest was probably not where Yosef stood politically. He probably didn't need to know that he was an Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. He probably wanted to know where Yosef stood spiritually. The first thing he's going to tell him, the first thing he tells the brothers to report to Yaakov, that Hashem made me an Adon L'chol Mitzrayim. You know, he probably wants to know, should I sit Shiva for Yosef again? Because his neshama is gone. I sat Shiva for him once because I thought he had died. Now that I find out that he's alive, what's he like? Does he still have a neshama? Does he still act like a Jew? Does he still behave like a Ben to Yaakov Avinu? Has he stood up to all the challenges that he faced? You know, I don't know if this is true. Maybe someone could Google it. But someone told me that when Henry Kissinger married a non-Jew, his father didn't attend the wedding because he was busy sitting Shiva for his son. That his son's political accomplishments were of no comfort to him. You'd imagine it's similar about Yaakov Avinu. Why does Yosef emphasize that he's a master over Mitzrayim? And the answer is really in one word. Samani Elokim la'adon l'chol Mitzrayim. With that word, Yosef informs Yaakov how it is that he managed to stay strong spiritually. It wasn't fun being thrown in a pit. It wasn't fun being sold down to Egypt and rotting away in a jail cell. But throughout it all, he recognized Samani Elokim. This is where Hashem placed me. In each circumstance, whether it's Bina'os Desha, that Hashem is holding me, or whether it's Almei Menuchos, this is where Hashem placed me. I know the shepherd. And the shepherd knows what's best for me. And this is where he put me. And with such a hashkafa, with such an outlook, I can say, yes, it's felt like Shiftecha, but Yenachamuni. I take comfort in that. And I can remain connected to the shepherd. So while Yaakov was wondering, Lama Hariosa, all this evil that's befallen me, Yosef saw the shepherd. Yosef saw the hand of Hashem. And that was a profound lesson for Yaakov. To learn that the Ribono Shel Olam is a shepherd. You know, I'm reminded of the hesped that the Chasam Sofer gave for Yosef David Zinsheim. Yosef David Zinsheim is not a famous, probably not as famous as he should be in terms of a historical Jewish figure. He was the Rosh Beis Din of Napoleon's Sanhedrin. Napoleon decided to make a Sanhedrin for the Jewish people, and Rav Yosef David Zinsheim was appointed as the Rosh Beis Din. He was the lead judge in Napoleon's Sanhedrin. And when he passed away, can you imagine the kind of honor that he received, the kind of respect he was given by the government, how well connected he was? And when he passed away, the Chasam Sofer gave a eulogy. He gave a hesped for him, and the Chasam Sofer said, you know, when Yosef reveals his identity to his brothers and they go back and they report to Yaakov Avinu, what did they tell Yaakov Avinu? Od Yosef chai v'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef is alive and he's ruling over all of Eretz Mitzrayim. So says the Chasam Sofer, that's what Yaakov needed to hear? V'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim? That he was ruling over all of Mitzrayim? Tell him, Od Yosef chai, and he has two sons, Menashe and Ephraim, they're the finest B'nai Torah you would ever want to meet. That would give Yaakov some nachas. Od Yosef chai, and he withstood the temptation of Inesha's Potiphar. Od Yosef chai, and he is a tzaddik yisod olam, who's supporting the entire world. Od Yosef chai, v'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov wants to hear, how powerful Yosef is. Says the Chasam Sofer, there are two ways this relationship could have gone. Knowing that Yosef is in a position of power, there are two ways you could view it. There are two ways that the relationship could have gone. It could be a relationship where Yosef rules over Mitzrayim, or it could be a relationship where Mitzrayim rules over Yosef. Meaning, yeah, Yosef is going to be king. But is the Yosef that which dominates? Or is Mitzrayim that which has dominated Yosef? I'll give you a mashal. I remember a number of years ago, we were interviewing a candidate for a principal job in one of my children's schools. And the candidate had grown up in the Five Towns 50 years ago. And he hadn't returned in decades to the Five Towns. And we were talking to him, what's it like being back in the Five Towns for the first time in all these years? He didn't have any family here anymore. He had no reason to come back. So he said that an old friend of his told him, you got to go to Central Avenue. You got to see it. Meaning you grew up here 50 years. I grew up in the Five Towns. I grew up... you know, not as long ago. He said, you gotta go to Central Avenue. The Jews took over Central Avenue. So this guy told us, he said, you know, I went to Central Avenue, and it didn't look to me like the Jews took over Central Avenue. It looked to me like Central Avenue took over the Jews. V'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Right? It can go one way or it can go the other way. I'm not commenting on the truth or an untruth of that statement. I'm just repeating. V'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. I find it that people from Queens tend to enjoy when we knock the Five Towns. So that's, but v'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. People from Teaneck love it. But okay, v'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. It could have gone one way or the other. That he rules over Mitzrayim or Mitzrayim rules over him. And that's the first thing they told Yaakov. V'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef is ruling over Mitzrayim. It's not Mitzrayim ruling over Yosef. An amazing thing because... the Chasam Sofer was giving a hesped for Rav Yosef David Zinsheim, and he said, Rav Yosef David Zinsheim was given all the covet in the world. Napoleon gave him all the covet in the world. He became this great political figure. But how did it work? V'chihu moshel b'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. He was the one that ruled over. I just had the opportunity this past Sunday to speak at a Hachnasa Sefer Torah, a Sefer Torah that was written L'zecher Nishmas Judge Noach Dier, whose daughter davens in my shul. And I remember Noach Dier told me, he died of COVID toward the beginning of the pandemic, and he told me that he was pushing me at some point to try to get someone a judgeship, to try to intervene with some political figures in New York State. And I said, look, I'm just not into politics. It's not my thing. You know, I teach Torah. And he said, no. I don't like when rabbis say that. He said, politics is a way to help people. That's it. It's a way to help people. You're into helping people. So you have to use whatever tools you have at your disposal. So if being politically connected is going to be a way to help people, then that's what you do. Is it a way to get power? Or is it a way to help people? So Yaakov hears, the first thing he hears from Yosef, Samani Elokim. I understand, Yosef says, all of these things that happened to me is Hashem placed me. Hashem put me here. It wasn't an accident. Shivtecha is inachamuni. Even the Shevet is being menachim me. And that is why, in the end of his life, Yaakov told Yosef, Ha'elokim asher esalchu avosai lefanav Avram v'Yitzchak, Ha'elokim haroe osi, roe reish, ayin hey, haroe osi, who has shepherded me, me'odi ad hayom hazeh. Wow, look at the language Yaakov decides to use. He doesn't say, Hashem has been there with me. Hashem has shepherded me. He refers to God as a shepherd. He learned that through all of his troubles, Hashem was really with him. Yosef einenu? No, Yosef was becoming king over the world. Shimon einenu? Shimon was having a party. Binyamin is going to be taken? Binyamin was never taken from him. Hashem was there the whole time. Hashem was bringing him to the Meimenuchos. Hashem was taking care of him. And all that David HaMelech expounds on in Mizmor Chaf Gimel is communicated in that one short sentence of Yaakov Avinu. And after God's hand became so evident, in the greatest of all of his sorrows, Yaakov was able to appreciate Hashem Roi Lo Echsar. And Ki Ata Imadi, and it's remarkable that when Yaakov says, Helukim Haroe Osi, the word Roe is spelled Reish Ayin He, not Reish Vav Ayin He. It's spelled chaser, without the vav, as if it were to say ra'a, as if to say, all that I thought that was ra'a, my lama hare osem, Hashem, why did you do ra'a to me? Why did you do evil to me? That ra'a has turned into ra'a. Hashem ro'i lo echsar. This is a remarkable thing that I never noticed before until Rav Eliada Goldwicht pointed it out. He has a much longer mahalich in explaining it, so I'm not going to be able to get into it right now. I'm mindful of the time. But he had, it's on his mahalich from his father, from Rav Meir Goldwicht Shlita. A beautiful mahalich in this. But just to take note that when Yosef finally meets the whole family, everyone comes down to Mitzrayim. Perek Mem Vav in Sefer Bereishis, this week's parasha. So everyone's finally there. Pasuk Lamed Aleph and Lamed Beis. So Yosef meets the nieces and nephews that he's never met before. Sisters-in-law he's probably never met before. Brothers he hasn't seen in years. They're all right there. Vayomer Yosef el Achiv el Beis Aviv Ela Vagidu L'Faro Va'omer Elav Achayu Veis Avi Asher Beretz Kanan Bo Elai. Quickly, we better go tell Paro that my entire family has arrived. V'ha'anoshim ro'ei tzon, ki anshe mikne hayu, v'tzonam v'karam v'chol ha'shalam iviyu. And what's the first thing he says? We have to quickly tell Paro that we're people of sheep. That we're people that connect with the sheep. That's the first thing you need to tell Paro. That we're people that connect with the sheep. Yosef was giving that same Musar Shmuz to his brothers. He was telling his brothers, you know, we've gone through a lot of stuff. We've been to a lot of places. And a lot of it we didn't understand along the way. And I certainly, says Yosef, rotting away in an Egyptian jail, I wasn't understanding it. But we're a people of the sheep, and the sheep have a shepherd. And we have a relationship with that shepherd. It's a healthy reminder, after all we've gone through in the past few months, and beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Be'ezras Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow that this vaccine should be everything it's promised to be, and that it should happen more quickly than is being promised. And we should see an unbelievable Yeshua that's as unimaginable to us now as everything we've gone through was back in February. As unimaginable as that was back in February, we should see Yeshua of such great magnitude that it's unimaginable to us now. And throughout all of that, we're going to be able to say, I knew the shepherd. Samani Elokim. Hashem put me exactly where I needed to be. And there's been a lot said, a lot of people talk about all the silver linings and all of the lessons and everything that we're going to learn from it. But maybe, maybe, the greatest lesson of all, maybe, also relates to sheep and a shepherd. Because part of having a shepherd is acting like a sheep. And the one thing, the sheep stick together. And if they don't stick together, then they fall apart, then they don't survive. Then the wolf attacks them. That's the way sheep survive, by sticking together. And if the message of Yaakov Avinu, the message of David HaMelech, the message of Yosef HaTzadik, is that we recognize that we have a shepherd, then we have to recognize that we are supposed to be sheep. You know, I just had an experience the other day. There's a young man in my shul who lost his father to this dreaded virus before Pesach. His father was my age, went to MTA together with me, a young man, and a good friend of mine. And he passed away, four children. And this his oldest son, his 18-year-old son, went to learn in yeshiva this year. What a bracha, to be able to go to yeshiva, to be with his chaverim, to be with his friends. And then something happened. He had a medical thing he had to come home for. Kid can't catch a break, right? He's got to come home, middle of his Shana Aleph, just as he's enjoying it and getting into a routine. And he's got to come home in order to deal with this medical issue that he has. And then finally, he's ready to go back. He was home for a few weeks. He was ready to go back. And then Israel changes the rules about coming back into the country. And his travel agent called him up and said, don't even bother going to the airport. You're not going to be allowed back in. And you think to yourself, man, some people just can't catch a break. How does this happen? And I'll tell you what happened. An entire community worked every connection they could possibly work. And the CEO of El Al was called, and the ambassador's office was called, of course, and the State Department was called. And the kid is back in yeshiva learning now. Which connection worked? One of them. But the point is, it mobilized an entire community. And we see that we don't always understand the way the shepherd works and what the shepherd is doing. But we understand that we're all sheep. And the better we understand that message, that as sheep that stick together, that's how we survive, that's how we manage to make it. And we recognize all that time, Hashem Rovi Lo Echsar, that as long as Hashem is my shepherd, I'm okay. We'll be able to appreciate in hindsight that it was all worth it, that everything that Hashem does is for our benefit in some way or another. And Be'ezras Hashem, we should see those brachos and be able to see that with our own eyes and be able to appreciate it, Bekarov, very, very soon. I thank you all so much for coming to learn with me this evening.